I am with you until the end of the ages. I am with you tonight. You are walking on holy ground. You need to understand that your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. You need to know that you are going to take my love to a broken generation. The hills and the valleys will be laid low. But you, my children, you shall soar to the mountaintops. And you will do a great and mighty works for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It has been a rough, hard journey thus far. But I promise you this, even though you're going into deeper warfare than ever, you will go into it with rejoicing on your lips. And this warfare will not touch you because I am keeping you safe in my everlasting arms. I have spoken so many promises over your lives, and I want to bring each and every one of them to pass. Now is the time for you to forge forward and do my complete will. Now is the time for you to determine in your heart of hearts that nothing will sway you. The enemy is all around about, but he cannot touch you. I told you that the church was going to go through the Job experience, and they had. And I also told you it was finished, and it is. Now I need you to take my hand more securely than ever before, because we are on a brand new journey, you and I. We are going to tear down the mountains that are keeping the people in bondage. We are going to open prison doors, and they are going to walk out rejoicing. Remember the story of Peter. He was in the prison cells, and the people prayed and prayed, and I caused an earthquake to open up the doors, and he walked free. And this is what you are going to do, my people. You're going to be praising me and worshiping me 24/7, and it will cause a big earthquake in the heavenly realm, and the prison doors will be opened, and the prisoners will be set free. I wait for your rejoicing. I wait for your praise. And when I see that you have both perfected, then I work on your behalf. But you are going to have to learn to praise me in the midst of the storm. You're going to have to learn to rejoice when there is no reason to rejoice. It is at that point that the angelic army is sent forth to do your battles for you. You truly are in a new era. You are in a new dispensation of time. And you truly are being sent forth to do a great and mighty work of tearing down the kingdom of darkness. Now I tell you this, all hell is on alert. The enemy is having his fits day in and day out. He is mad at the demonic forces that are under him because they are not doing their work. They have not been able to destroy any of you sitting in here this night, and the enemy is mad. But I tell you this, he cannot touch you. I want you to go forth undaunted by the cares of this world. I want you to go forth dressed in your royal robes. And I want you to defeat the enemy at every turn. How do you do this? You do it by praise and worship. You do it by worshiping me with all of your being, not just your lips. You do this by dancing on the enemy's head. And as you do this criteria, you will see the enemy no more. There is a time, there is a season when he has to flee, and this is a time and this is a season. You cannot be fighting a war and winning souls. The angelic host will fight your battles for you, but you must always remember that you are in spiritual warfare and that the enemy is furious. Come forward this night. Rejoice in me. I've come, little ones, and I'm not leaving. I gave my servant a promise that when I started, I would continue on. And I'm keeping that promise. Whether you want me or not, I'm here. And those who do want me are going to receive all that I have for their lives. Those of you who just want to sit by and idly watch, you can do that. But that's all you'll have. You won't have all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have spoken, and so shall it come to pass. I made a stand tonight, and I'm going to tell you what that stand is. I was confronted, and I was asked, what are you going to say whenever President Trump no longer is in office? And I said, it is not going to happen. He will be in office and he will straighten this United States of America out. And Brother Chris heard me talking. He said, and I'm adamant about this. I will not recant. I will never say I did not hear God's voice. I heard God's voice. I hear God's voice about it every day. You can, and like I told that person, you can believe what you want to believe. And if you don't believe that I hear God's voice, then I suggest you not come around me again. But the enemy thought he had me. He thought I was going to do like the other and say, well, I didn't hear. No way. No way. So you have to make your decision. Are you going to stand firm in whatever God's told you to do? I don't care what it is. Or are you going to allow the enemy to come and ask you, well, what are you going to say when it doesn't come to pass? I've had people come to me that I prophesied something to them 10 years ago and it just came to pass, but it came to pass word for word, line upon line and precept upon precept. Took 10 years, but it came to pass. Either you're for God or you're against him. Either you know who you are in Christ or you don't. And I told this person, I said, you don't know who you are in Christ. That's why you're confronting me right now. Well, some people, they're listening to what you say and they're losing faith. I said, do you know why they're losing faith? Why? Because they don't walk close to the fire. If you're walking close to God, you would know. You wouldn't even ask me that question. Teresa said to me, Mom, you're too dogmatic. I said, it's okay. You can go and laugh at the people if you want, and that's good. We need that. But I know what God's called me to do, and it's not to sit around and laugh with you and say what you're doing is okay. Your blood is not going to be in my hands when I stand before the Father in heaven, right? Come on. God is really good to us, really good to this church. And you can tell, you can say in all honesty, you don't deserve all the grace he's given you. And it wouldn't be for his grace, you wouldn't be sitting anywhere. All right? Well, Father, I just thank you for what you've already done. I thank you, Father God, for your anointing that destroys every yoke. I thank you, Father God, that you are an astute God. You are God of love. And you are with us every day, all day long. I thank you, Father God, that you are taking us higher into the spirit realm than we've ever gone before. I thank you, Father, for your people who come to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you for the angelic hosts in this room tonight, ministering to your people. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks through us and only says what he hears you say, just as Jesus did. And Father, we thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about chess tonight. who in here knows anything about chest? I mean chess, not chest, but chess. 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, well, look at this. Well, he didn't give it to you to give, did he? He gave it to me who knows nothing except it's a board with squares on it. All right. So here we go. You ready? God spoke and said we were in a stalemate. I was asking God, what do you want me to teach on? And he said, we are in a stalemate. And I said, oh, really now? See, I knew that was chess. Now let's see what it is. Stalemate is a situation in the game of chess where the player whose turn it is to move is not in checkmate but has no legal move. I know God is relating this to church, but I also know he's relating it to what's going on in the government, all right? So sort of keep that in your mind as you're listening. The rules of chess provide that when stalemate occurs, the game ends as a draw. During the end game, stalemate is a resource that can enable the player with the inferior position to draw the game rather than lose. See, us who don't know a thing about chess do not know what he just said, right? In more complex positions, stalemate is much rarer, usually taking the form of a swindle that succeeds only if the superior side is inattentive. Now, you know what that means, right, Brett? Can you explain that?
You can only succeed in creating the stalemate if the superior person you're playing with is not paying attention.
That's all it means.
The thing about the superior side is that that can be a weakness, knowing that you're smarter or thinking that you're smarter. And because of that, you don't pay as much attention as you should have, and somebody can sneak behind you.
Say that again.
The superior side is saying that the smarter or superior side, or the player that thinks that they're smarter, that can be a weakness in them because they won't think that the other person has the brains or the capability to bring something to a draw. So they're not even looking for it.
How many of you watch people play checkers and they just think, I got this. And here comes a guy, bloop, 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 and they win the game. It's because you think you've outsmarted the enemy and you're smarter than the enemy. All right, so let's read that again. Now, do you understand a little bit better? All right. Stalemate is a situation in a game of chess where the player whose turn it is to move is not in checkmate but has no legal move. The rules of chess provide that when stalemate occurs, the game ends as a draw. All right, moving on. Stalemate is any position or situation in which no action can be taken or progress made, which causes a deadlock. Stalemate happens when the player who has to move has no legal moves available. The game then ends immediately in a tie, and each player is awarded half a point. So we're in stalemate. Now let's see what God has to say. All right. It wasn't that neat. Well, once a neat one, I heard God say that, and I had to listen to what he had to say about it. Now, this is God speaking. Children, everything around about you is in stalemate. You must from this point on watch every move you make. The enemy is playing his moves very wisely. The stakes are high, and the enemy is watching every move very skillfully. The reason is, so in other words, you can't say, aha, devil, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You have to be on the watch. God said, the reason this chess game has come to this point is because my children were not watchful, and they allowed the enemy to take their eyes off of the rules of the game. They thought they had the game under control. God said, what does my word tell you about the enemy? In 2 Corinthians 2:11, a further reason for forgiveness is to keep from being outsmarted by Satan, for we know what he is trying to do. Because our enemy is both wise and relentless, we must be aware of his tricks and schemes at all times, is what I'm saying. And Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. To be wise as a serpent means to have a good, basic, fundamental knowledge of what areas you can go into and what areas you cannot go into. And to always be on your guard against the snares, traps, and deceptions that the dark side will try and throw at you in order to try and knock you off course or try to enslave you into a dark area. So you're in a chess game, and you have to watch every move very carefully that you're getting ready to make or that the enemy's making so that he doesn't get you into a stalemate. All right? Luke 10:3 says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks. Trust the Lord and remember that other Christians all around the world are going through these sufferings also or too. You know, when I first started, you know, God told me I was in a tug of war. He had one arm, Satan has the other, and they were both trying to get my soul. Well, people said that wasn't true. Well, the first thing they told me is you don't run a church like you do a business, but God told me you do. Then we were in the tug of war thing. And then lo and behold, one day God said, you're in a chess game. And about a month later, I heard somebody say, God is not playing chess with his people. You know, why do people not want to believe God? We don't think of those things in the natural, do we? We don't go around thinking, God, or whose move is it to make? Is the king going to make it, or the horsemen, or whatever, do we? No, we don't. So God tells us the truth. He tells us exactly where we're at. Philippians 3:2 says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. So one of the first rules of true spiritual warfare is to know where you can tread in this life and where you cannot. You must carefully calculate every move you make. Now, you know, God told us to go up into the third heaven and fight from the third heaven. He wanted us out of the Satan's territory because he knew that the battle would be too strong for us. So he said, come up into the third heaven and fight from there. And how many people in the body of Christ are fighting from down in here? You know, down here in Satan's territory. And he knows where all the pitfalls are at and everything else, and you don't, because he's the one that laid them. And this is why God has called us to come out of this realm and go to the third heaven and fight from there. The dark side has grown stronger, and an antichrist spirit has started to envelop the entire world. That's what God spoke. I didn't make it green. All right, so then put all three of these verses together, and God is telling all of us loud and clear that we have to be wise, smart, sober, not high on drugs, all right, vigilant, and always on guard against Satan. Read that again. We need to be wise, smart, sober, vigilant, and always on guard against Satan, his horde of demonic spirits, and all of the bad and evil people who are out there living this life on the dark side. All of these verses from the Lord are telling us, telling everyone to draw their battle lines in the sand and to have nothing to do with the bad apples and unbelievers of this world. How many times has God said to us, I've drawn a line in the sand? I've drawn a demarcation line. Don't cross the line. The body of Christ still crosses the line. The body of Christ still goes where they're not supposed to go. They make moves that's going to capture them. Right? Are you understanding what God is trying to do here? He's trying to get our attention that we watch every move that we make and be aware of every move that the enemy's trying to make. Now, God said, the reason we are at a stalemate, children, is because you have transgressed against some of my covenants, and now you're trying to figure out your next move. Isn't that true? Because, and God said, because of your transgressions, the enemy has legal right to you. You are in this stalemate position. Any position or situation in which no action can be taken or progress made is a deadlock. So what did God tell us to do tonight? Break the enemy's back over our lives, wasn't it? And then he told you to break the strongholds, right? That you allowed him to have over you. That you allowed him to have over you. So I said, God said, because of your transgressions, the enemy has legal right to you. You are in this stalemate position. Any position or situation in which no action can be taken or progress made is a deadlock. And I believe that's what Adam just told us. God said the enemy really believes this is a deadlock position. He believes he has us in a deadlock position. But God wanted to say, but I am now in the game and I am making the next move. I think it's awesome that God had you all do that before he gave you the word, because now what he says is true. Now he is in the game. All right? And he's making the next move. And God said, you who did not do that, you're going to have one more year of your mess. And I said, God, did I speak a curse over their life, or was it you? He said, no, you did not speak a curse over their life. They made their own decision. All right? Because I'll tell you one thing right now. If I was in a mess, I wouldn't want to go through it for another year, would you? Like that one time God said to me, well, daughter, you can go around this mountain as many times as you want, and I'll be standing there waiting when you decide to quit going around the mountain. In other words, when I decide to give the situation to him, then he would take it. Are you understanding that? Okay. In this next move, you cannot in any ways make any uncalculated moves. You must only move when I say move, for the enemy is slick, and he knows that my people are gullible and will move just because they think it is a neat thing to do. Read that again, because how true. In this next move, you cannot in any ways make any uncalculated moves. You must only move when I say move, for the enemy is slick and he knows that my people are gullible and will move just because they think it is a neat thing to do. Somebody told me something about somebody was, they was laying on the floor today, and I didn't say it because I knew if they heard it, they'd jump up and do something. They'd make their own move. And they wouldn't wait for God to do it because, okay, I heard God say it, so I'm going to do it. All right? Sometimes when God speaks something to you, it doesn't mean do it right now. He just is telling you what's going to be happening in your life. Children, you need to be constantly on the alert so you do not get caught in the crosshairs of the enemy, nor a stalemate, nor a deadlock. I thought that was neat, being caught in the crosshairs of the enemy, nor a stalemate, nor a deadlock. The future, God said, the future is bright before you, warriors of the Most High God. You have won the chess game. The stalemate or deadlock is over, and all I have in my kingdom is yours. The chess game's over. Then God went on to say, you know the wiles of the enemy, and you are aware of what your walk with me is all about. It is all about destroying the works of the evil one. It is about bringing in the harvest of lost souls. It is all about being the head and not the tail. Children, take the punches the enemy throws your way and defeat him at every turn. Right now, the warfare has intensified, and you must at all costs keep your head above water. So, and I tried to change it above water, but that's what I said. Secure yourselves in me and stay there. It does not matter what the circumstances look like. Stay in the safety of my extended arms that I have extended out to you. Okay? You all know the enemy is a liar, and he has no truth in him. Look at your country. It is being torn to ribbons by lies and deception on all sides. The enemy surely came in like a flood, and because my people were not fully alert at what was going on around about them, the enemy won. And you can find that in Isaiah 59:19. The enemy surely came in like a flood, and because my people were not fully alert at what was going on around about them, the enemy won. And that has happened in each one of our lives in different occasions. God said it is just a temporary victory, but he is making the most of his time. He knows this charade is coming to an end, but he is making the most of it. God said he has infiltrated the church like never before. The church must man up and kick him back out. The church has all the weapons they need to accomplish the task at hand. If the church can't accomplish this task, then how can they bring in the harvest that is saturated with demons? You have the biggest weapon to accomplish this task, and that weapon is the shed blood of my son, Jesus. You have all power and authority to destroy the enemy's works. You have everything you need to make the enemy leave you alone. Act like it. Put him in deadlock. Amen. God said, children, you must understand that the enemy plays for keeps and he doesn't care how he wins. And I know every one of us can say amen to that. It is time to announce checkmate to the opponent, Satan, and move on to bigger things, the great harvest. Checkmate. Thank you, Barbara, for being the leader of the pack. Amen. Checkmate is a game position in chess in which a player's king is in check, threatened with capture. And there is no way to avoid the threat. Checkmating the opponent wins the game. Yes. In chess, the king is never captured. The player loses as soon as their king is checkmated. Right, Adam? That's what Google said. God said that the chess game is over. God says we win because he came in the game. Now, are you going to believe that? You can sit here and listen to everything I tell you, but are you going to believe that? Do you really believe that you broke the enemy's back tonight?
Yes. Amen.
You know, it's your belief system that sometimes the enemy attacks. And you know, and believe is the word that God has been having before my eyes constantly here all this year, last year. The enemy is as real can be. I'm going to tell you why I know this, because I've literally seen him, for one thing. But one time, God, it's my first husband, and he was having an affair, and he was going to go to work. He said he had to go and work that night, and God said to me, "Go with him." I said, "God, I don't want to." You know, I knew he's having this affair. I didn't care. I said, "I really don't want to. I have studying to do because it's going to college." And I said, "I don't have time to go babysit." He said, "I want you to go." He said, "This is what's going to happen." He gave me a vision. And in this vision, we pulled up to his workplace. And this lady came out the door and was standing there smiling at him. And then God showed me pushing him away, taking him away from this woman. And as I was pushing him, God said, "Don't let him look back." And every time he tried to look back, I would say, "No, don't look back." But this lady turned into a snake, slithered on the ground and said, "I'll kill you," a big snake. And I told, you know, my husband at that time, I said, "Keep moving, don't look back." And just as the enemy got, you know, the snake got to me, God put a glass partition between me and the enemy. And God said, "The enemy will never be able to touch you," but he was going to kill this man. And I woke up. I didn't wake up, I come out of the vision. And then I said to him, "I'm going to ride with you. Is that all right?" He said, "Sure." When we got to his place of work, there that lady stood at that door. And she screamed at me, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And my husband said, "Let's just turn around and go back home." The enemy thought he had him. I saw him. He turned from a woman to a snake, stood up and was after me. The enemy is real. I've had many instances where Satan has manifested himself to me. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you don't think that he's real, then you're in deep trouble. God is real. All of heaven is real. All of hell is real. We are living in reality, and we have to do our part. We have to fight. We have to, like God said here, we have to watch very carefully what the enemy's doing, because he is just not up there moving these chess people around. We're the chess pieces. He knows, he's calculating everything he's going to do in our lives. But God is on the throne. God wrote our lives out, what's going to happen in our lives. He is the one we need to look to, and not at what the enemy is doing to us. We need to keep our eyes on God and what God is doing in our lives. No man or no woman can take you out of the hands of God. No man or no woman can rewrite your book. Your book is in heaven, written out what you're going to do from the time you breathe your first breath until the time you breathe your last one. And all we are doing is walking out that book. Hopefully that since you've turned from the enemy to God, you're staying in God's hands, and your book will walk, you'll walk out your book exactly the way it's supposed to. Some of us have taken more pages at one time we should have, and we went astray, but not no more. The chess game is over, and we have won. And now we need to continue to walk victoriously. We need to walk victoriously so we can win the lost to God. You have to be, you know, I know why God called me to do what I'm doing, because, you know, I am dogmatic, always have been all my life, because my father taught me to do that. But also have love for the people too. And I'm not going to sit by and watch the enemy take you down to hell with him. I have to be strong at all times. I can't relax at any given time when it comes to spiritual things. we have to be on alert. We are the watchmen on the wall, are we not? And we are watching for these lost souls, over these lost souls, that Satan doesn't take them out. Tonight, you're free. Are you going to stay free? Are you really going to stay free and go forth and do the things that God's out here? And God said, go forth undaunted to do the thing he's calling you forth to do. I listened to what God spoke to each one of you today, this morning, and you got very good words from the Father. Now, are you going to keep those good words, or are you going to let the enemy steal them? It's up to you if we retain what we receive from God or if we lose it. You know, we're going to be walk in sorrow. That's just it. But we walk in sorrow with the joy of the Lord within us. Jesus was a man of sorrow, was he not? But he was out there dancing and carrying all the kids and everything else. He didn't go somewhere and sulk in a corner. He did the work he had to do. We need to do the same thing. We can't go sulking in a corner every time Satan comes our way and throws something in the, you know, a little thing in our path that makes us trip. We have to get back up again, and we have to keep moving on. We are not perfected yet, and we're all going to make mistakes. But that doesn't mean that we have to let those mistakes keep us down. I'm hearing God say some of you are crushed and broken from within, and it's going to take a little bit of time to heal, unless he performs a miracle and heals you in the wink of an eye. And we know that he's told us he will do that. He's going to perform miracles. All he has to do is blink his eye, and the miracle happens. And God is in the business of restoring people. And he wants to restore everything back to you that De Palmer and Cankworm have stolen all the days of your life. All right? You know, I'm up here preaching, you know, teaching you, you know, to go on, that God's in control. And, you know, the enemy's working at my household overtime. We had toilet problems, what, 3 times? They had to go up there and dig up all the lines. You know, everything I purchased in the mail is broke or something's wrong with it. The enemy got a hold of my money. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. But God's in control, and we're rejoicing, right? We took care of the poop, right? Got everything all covered up. Going to send the broken items back, and God's taking care of the money. So what more can we ask for? We laugh, right? And we have a good time. It doesn't matter what the enemy's throwing our way. He's only doing that kind of stuff to discourage us. You know, now my prophetic is being tested, you know, so life goes on. We live in a living world, right? Life goes on. I'm sorry, guys, we don't have the privilege of just going into our little fancy homes and curling up on the sofa and you know, knowing that nothing's ever going to touch us. We can't do that. We are the warriors that God has called forth to do battle so others can go curl up on their sofas, right? Until they become a warrior. But we're never going to be able to let our guard down, never. Dana, God was saying to you this day, you're my honeypot. That honey is going to attract many, many bees. The bees are the souls that hell has their number on to take them to hell. But daughter of Zion, I have erased the numbers, and I have placed my mark of freedom on their foreheads. And I'm going to use you to bring in a harvest, a rich harvest that others can't reach. I do not want you to listen to the gullibles out there. I want you to listen to my voice and my still voice only. There is a time and a season for all things. This is a time and a season I have appointed for you to come forth and win the souls. Much transaction is going on in your life at this given time. I am in every transaction, little one. I am holding your hand, and I am leading, guiding, and directing. And I'm also speaking in a still small voice into your ears. Faint not at adversity. laugh in the enemy's face, and move on. Remember, you're the honeypot, and you're drawing the bees to the honey. And Dana, this is, you know, I just feel in my spirit that the enemy is going to attack you in some way. And God's lifting you up right now, letting you know that he's with you. And you'll be able to endure this attack. It won't take you out, because God is forewarning you that it's coming. How many of you really believe God tonight? You really trust him, knowing that he did come and he is in a chess game, and the chess game is over. If you really believe that, God wants you to come forth tonight, because he is going to undergird you with steel that the enemy cannot penetrate. The enemy can break rock, but he can't penetrate steel.